Greet you in the blessed name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. It is so good to see all of you in the house of the Lord. Now let us review the verses that we have learned at the camp. Colossians 3, 1 to 4. All right, ready, go. Colossians 3, 1 to 4. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. Colossians 3, 1 to 4. Very good. I see that almost all of you are reciting these verses. If you have not learned them, please learn them. And if you have learned them, let's apply them to our lives. Always setting our affections on things above rather than on things of this earth. My topic this morning is Jesus, our living rock, our living stone. Now, if a person is referred to as a dead wood, what do you think of that person? It means he's useless. So if a person is regarded as a piece of dead wood in a company, when there is a retrenchment exercise, that person will go because he's a piece of dead wood. Now, what if a person is referred to as a woodhead? You know what a woodhead is? In Chinese, in Teochew, we say cha tao. That's what it means, woodhead. A woodhead means, if somebody is referred to as a piece or a woodhead, it means he's stupid. All right, it's foolish, it's stupid. Now, my dear friends, no one wants to be referred to as a piece of wood hay. Now, what if you are referred to as a rock? Now, is it something good or something bad? Now, if you are referred to as a rock, it is usually very good. Yes, because rock is representative of strength, is a representative of something that is very, very solid, and it is representative of security. So if you are referred to as a rock, it is usually something that it means the reference of you is something that is pretty good. And so we have this analogy, as strong as the rock of Gibraltar. Now the Lord Jesus Christ gave his disciple Simon, son of Jonas, the name Peter, Petros, which means a rock, a little rock. But let us not go away with the idea that Peter thought of himself as being infallible. Peter never thought of himself as being infallible. The Roman Catholics think that the Pope is a successor to Peter, and they think that the Pope is infallible when the Pope speaks in his official position as the universal shepherd of his church to the whole world. In other words, when he speaks ex cathedra from his chair as a pope, not a physical chair, but a position as a pope, when he speaks officially as the universal shepherd, he is regarded as speaking things that are infallible, all right, or rather what he says is infallible. But of course that is erroneous, yes, only the word of God is infallible and not the words of any man. Now, before Peter denied the Lord, he probably thought that he would not fall. But after he fell, he realized how vulnerable and how weak he was. Yes, you remember in the book of 1 Peter, he likened Satan to what? Our adversary, as a roaring lion who walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. And Peter realized that he was really very, very vulnerable and he could easily be swallowed up by the evil one, the roaring lion. Now, as far as Peter was concerned, he himself was not infallible. And there was only one, and there is only one that is infallible, and that is the living rock, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, what did Peter see of himself? Peter saw himself as a little stone, a little rock, a little stone, a living stone, just like all other believers. All of us are living stones, and Peter saw himself as just one of the many living stones. Now, this morning, I'd like us to consider three things. Number one, Christ, the living stone. And number two, coming to this living stone. And number three, the lively stones, or the living stones, believers who are built on this living stone, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now Christ is the living stone. Now the Jews thought well of the term stone. Otherwise, the Lord Jesus Christ would not have given Peter the name Petros, Peter. So the Jews thought well of the term stone. Their temple, the temple in the city of Jerusalem, built by King Solomon, on which the Jews looked back with pride, yes, was made up of what? Built with what? Of course, built with stones. Now, it was a very, very magnificent building in its heyday, and it was the center of worship of the one true living God. The temple, its furniture, and the offerings of sacrifices were all very, very significant. They all pointed to the coming of the Messiah whom the Jews were longingly looking forward to. Yes, all this furniture, the temple, and the offerings all pointed to this Messiah. Now, so that temple was a very, very glorious building. It was made of stones. And then during the time the Lord Jesus Christ walked on this earth, there was this other temple. Now, this temple was actually a rebuild of the second temple. You see, the first temple built by King Solomon was destroyed by the Babylonians under the leadership of King Nebuchadnezzar. And the Jews were then taken into captivity. And they were in captivity for 70 years. And at the end of the 70 years, they went back to Jerusalem. They went back to the land of Judah. And then they rebuilt their temple. And then some 400 years later or so, the temple was rebuilt, reconstructed by King Herod. Now, the second temple built by the Jews was nothing compared to the first temple. King Solomon's temple was magnificent. The second temple was nothing compared to it. Now, when Herod built that temple, he made sure that the temple was beautiful. And it was beautiful, but not as magnificent as the first temple. But my point is this. All the temples were built with what? With stones. With bricks. With stones. So, when the Jews talk about the term stone, they actually talk about the stone with a high regard. Now, what about the name of the Messiah that they were looking forward to? Now, in the Old Testament, we find that the Messiah that they were looking forward to was referred to as a rock, as a stone. Our chairman, Deacon Anthony, read to us earlier on Isaiah chapter 28, verse 16. I read for you that verse, all right? Therefore, thus saith the Lord, behold, I lay in Zion for a foundation, a stone, a tried stone, a precious cornerstone, a sure foundation. He that believeth shall not make haste. Now this stone, of course, refers to none other than our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, the living stone. Then in the prophecy of Daniel, we read that this stone, or the kingdom of the Messiah, not the Messiah, this time the kingdom of the Messiah was referred to as a stone, a big rock, a stone carved out of a mountain without hands. So the kingdom of the Messiah was also referred to as a stone. So you see, as far as the Jews were concerned, the term stone was something to be desired. It was something to be had. It represented power, it represented security. Now praise the Lord. We have our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ as our living stone. He is our living stone. Yes, He's our power, He's our might, and He is our security. Now do you have Him as your living stone? Do you have Him as your foundation? Now let us think of His power and His might. All right, think of the power and the might of this living stone, our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I refer you to Isaiah chapter 40, verses 28 to 31. All right? Whenever I like to talk about the power and the might of the one true living God, I turn to these few verses, Isaiah 40, 28 to 31. Please turn to Isaiah 40, 28 to 31. All right, I read for you, okay, Isaiah 40, 28 to 31. Now, these few verses here, of course, talk about the power and the might of the one true living God. But is not the Lord Jesus Christ the one true living God? Of course he is. He is the one true living God. So when we read these few verses here, let us remember that these few verses are also referring to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, the rock of our salvation. Verse 28. Hast thou not known, hast thou not heard, that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary. There is no searching of his understanding. He giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might he increaseth strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength, they shall mount up with wings as eagles, they shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. Now this God of ours, the rock of our salvation, the living stone, my dear friends, he is all-powerful and he is all-knowing. Now you think of the time this one true living God walked on this earth among men. Think of the thousands who came to him for healing, the sick, the lame, the blind, the dumb, the deaf. They came to him for healing, and simply by the word of his mouth, he healed them. And think of those who were raised from the dead. My dear friends, simply by the word of his mouth, he raised them from the dead. And then you think of the 5,000 who were fed by the 5 loaves and 2 fishes, which he multiplied by the word of his mouth. He simply said it, yes, he simply prayed. And then the 5,000 were fed by the multiplication of the 5 loaves and 2 fishes. And you think of the boisterous sea of Galilee. There was this day when the Lord Jesus Christ and his disciples were on the Sea of Galilee when this storm blew. The Lord was fast asleep. The disciples panicked. They woke him up and said, Master, carest not thou that we perish? He woke up and he said, Peace be still. And the storms and the seas obeyed the command of the Lord. You see how powerful he was. And then he said, I have power to lay down my life, and I have power to take it up again. And that was precisely what he did. He died. He was crucified. He died. He was buried. Then on the third day, he raised himself up by his power. Even his resurrection power. How awesome, my dear friends, how awesome the power of the one true living God is. Now, this is the same power that will raise us up someday from the dead. Yes, when the Lord returns, when we are all dead, buried in the ground, when he returns, this is the same power that is going to raise us up someday. This is the power of the living stone, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, I ask you, on whose strength are you depending to live your Christian life? On whose strength? Friends, have you experienced the resurrection power in your life, living your Christian life for the Lord Jesus Christ? Now, if you depend on your strength, if I depend on my strength, we are going to fail. Yes, but we will surely triumph if we depend on him. He is our strength. He is our might. Yes, he is our creator. He fainteth not, neither is weary. There is no searching of his understanding. And you young people, you have lots of strength. But you can get tired too, isn't it true? Yes, which young person here doesn't get tired? You get tired too. Even the youth shall faint and the young man shall utterly fall. That's what the word of God says. You can get sick and you can get tired when you are discouraged, and you can get tired when you have tried very, very hard to do a thing, but you fail and you fail and you fail, and you can become very, very tired. And then don't you feel very, very weak when it comes to dealing with temptations that are presented to you by the evil one? You find it so hard to resist the temptations. You find that you have so little strength to resist the evil one. My dear friends, there simply is no other way for strength to live our Christian life except trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ, relying on this rock of our salvation, relying on this living stone, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Then as we get older, we sense our strength weakening. I think the older ones here can relate to what I'm going to say. I remember not so long ago, 50, 55 years ago, not so long ago. To the young people, very long ago. But to me, not so long ago. It was like yesterday. I still remember during the school holidays, I played football 3 times per day. Before breakfast, I would play. All right. Then I said, I've had enough football for the day. But before lunch, I'll play again. Then after that, in the afternoon, before dinner, I'll play again. So three times, I'll play football three times per day. Then how much time did I need for recovery? My dear friends, I didn't need much time for recovery. The next day, I'll be doing the same thing again. But today, if I were to just try playing football at the same pace for just maybe half a minute, I think I will collapse straight away. Yes, I will. Yes. You see, age takes its toll. We don't like it. We don't like it, but it happens. So friends, where do we get our strength to serve and to live for the Lord? Where do we get this strength? We find this strength in the living stone, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now he enables the young man to mount up with wings as eagles. And then for those who are slightly older than the young ones, he enables them to run and not be weary. And for those of us who are older, he enables us to walk and not faint. Yes, that's what he will do for us. Our strength is in this living stone, the one true living God. Now, this living stone is also our security. Now, in this life, where is our security? Or what is our security? Some people depend on their business for security. But as you know, businesses, even though they might be as strong as the solid banks, my dear friends, they can still collapse. You remember in the 2008-2009 global financial crisis, you know how many banks in the U.S. collapsed? You want to know? I say about 50 banks. About 50 banks collapsed in the U.S. And two of them were great banking institutions, at least two of them, one of which was the Lehman Brothers. All right, and the other one was Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac. All right, two big banking institutions, they collapsed. My dear friends, if you put money in those banks in those days, your money would have flown away. And then some depend on the success of the careers for security. Yes, you say, I want security, I depend on my career for security. Yes, you could be flying high when your company is doing well. But what happens if your company does not do well, my dear friends? Your career could go up in smoke also. Yes, your bank, your company collapses, you can be in trouble also. Or we could depend on ourselves for security. But what if we become sick? Yes, we depend on ourselves for security. What if we become sick? Now, surely we have heard of cases of people who are great public figures. Yes, doing very well, flying high. And all of a sudden they say, I'm sorry, I have to step down. Why? Because that person has been overcome by a terrible illness, and so he has to step down. And then can people depend on their children for security? Perhaps you can, my dear friends. If your children are God-fearing, if your children have the means to take care of you when you grow old. But there are children who completely dishonor their parents. And surely we must have heard of cases in which the children sue their parents in order that they might get a portion of the family's fortune. Now, a case in point would be the Reinhardt children. The Reinhardt children in Australia. They sue their mother, Hancock. Yeah, the Hancock children. The Hancock children sued their mother, Gina Reinhardt. Gina Reinhardt is one of the richest women in Australia, perhaps the richest women in Australia. They sued their mother to get control of the trust of the family fortune, the fortune of the Hancock Mining Company. Then, surely we have heard of cases of parents who, while they were still living, signed all their properties over to their children. And after the children have received the property, what do? They kick their parents out of their home and make their parents live in the garage. Yes. My dear friends, I trust that you young people are very, very God-fearing and that you will continue to honor your parents and not mistreat them when they grow old. My point is this, my dear friends, you cannot rely on your children for security. Our security is in the one true living God. Yes. He is the rock whom we can trust. Will he not provide for us? He will. He says this to us. He's made this promise to us. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. So he will surely provide for us. Then what about our security, our emotional security when we are hurt, our psychological security, our physical security? Can we find security in the one true living God? Can we find security in this solid rock, the living rock, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ? We can, because this rock of ours is not only the rock of our salvation, my dear friends, he is also our perfect high priest. Yes, I love these two verses very, very much in the book of Hebrews. Hebrews 4:15 and 16, which says, "For we have not an high priest who cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace to obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need." My dear friends, he is our perfect high priest, not one who cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities. He is perfectly sympathetic with us, in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. He knows exactly what we are in need of. Surely he is able to take care of all our problems. Now, the next question is, what is your security for life after life on this earth? Yes, what are you counting on for life after life on this earth? Are you counting on your good works? Are you counting on your righteousness? Are you counting on your family background? Yeah, perhaps you have come from a very godly family. Your parents are believers. You were baptized as a child. And you say, "I come from a good background. I was baptized as a child, as a kid. And therefore, I'm sure, I'm safe, and therefore I'm secure. I'm secure as far as life after life on this earth is concerned." But dear friends, remember what the Lord says. "There is none righteous, no, not one. All our righteousnesses are as filthy rags in the sight of the one true living God." No, friends, there is no sure foundation except in the Lord Jesus Christ. If we do not hear him, and if we do not do his will, my dear friends, we are lost. For he said this very, very clearly in Matthew chapter 7. He says, "Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven." We must be doing his will. Yes, if we want to be very, very secure as far as our salvation is concerned, my dear friends, if you are not trusting in the one true living God, if you are not resting on this sure foundation, the living stone, you are like that foolish man that built his house upon the sand. When the rain, the storms, and the floods came, that house collapsed. But if we hear him, my dear friends, if we hear him, and if we do his will, we will be building our house upon this sure foundation. This rock, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Come what may, wind, storms, rain, floods, our house will stand. Yes, we have absolute security as far as our salvation is concerned in the one true living God, in our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Nothing can separate us from the love of the Lord. Now, friends, we can talk about the goodness and the privileges that we may have, that we may receive from this living stone, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Sure, he's all powerful. He is the perfect security, our perfect security, and he is the life giver. But friends, we will not be able to enjoy any special privileges of his, the special privileges that he wants to give to us, unless we come to him. It is absolutely necessary that we come to him. You see, look at verse 4 in the 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 4. Verse 4 says what? 1 Peter chapter 4 says, "To whom coming?" You see, there's a need for us to come. "To whom coming as unto a living stone, disallowed or rejected indeed of man or by man, but chosen of God and precious." My dear friends, it is needful that we come to him. He is the living stone, not the dead stone. Not the dead stone, because he has life in himself, and he is the source of life. He is from everlasting to everlasting. He is our creator. He created man perfect. But man sinned, as a result of which he fell, and he became dead, dead in trespasses and sins, separated from the one true living God. But the Lord Jesus Christ came to recreate him. He gives new life to those who come to him, only to those who come to him, to trust in him as Lord and Savior. Have you experienced this new life in the Lord Jesus Christ? There is no neutral position, my dear friends. If you want to have this new life, you haven't got this new life, you want this new life, you must necessarily come to him. Peter says it clearly, coming unto him. Yes, you either come or you don't come. Yes, if you come, you have life. You don't come, you don't have life. Now, generally, people do not want to come to this living stone. If you look at verse 4, yes, you see that generally, people do not want to come to this living stone. Verse 4 says, to whom, coming as unto a living stone, disallowed indeed of men. Disallowed indeed of men. He came into his own, the Jews. But the Jews received him not. They rejected him. The Jews wanted to have a powerful military Messiah who will lead them against the rule of the Romans. That's what they wanted. Yes, but when Jesus came in the form of the son of a poor carpenter, they couldn't accept him. They rejected him and they finally crucified him. Like the Jews, many reject the Savior today. They reject this living stone. They say there is no beauty in him that we should desire him. Now, gentleness and meekness are qualities that that characterize our Lord. But people say gentleness and meekness are out of place in this modern society of ours. There is no place for being poor in spirit. There is no place for mourning over our sins. Yes. Now today, if you want to be great, you want to be very, very appear good in the eyes, appear great in the eyes of men, you must throw out gentleness and meekness. You must be very, very assertive. You must be aggressive. So Christ-likeness is out. It's thrown out of the windows. People reject the Lord Jesus Christ. They would not want to come to him. Then when the Lord was on this earth, the ones who rejected him most were the Jewish religious leaders or the religious Jews. They could not accept the gospel of grace. They could not. They said that salvation must be by works. Salvation could only be obtained by observing the laws of Moses and by observing the traditions that were invented by the Jewish elders. Yes. So Christ did not fit into their religious schemes, into the religious system. So this living stone had to be rejected. So when they came to this living stone, what happened? This living stone became a stumbling block. They stumble over because they say, no, salvation cannot be by works. Salvation cannot be by grace through faith. Salvation must be by works. So they stumbled, and this stone became a rock of offense. Christ and his teachings were very, very offensive to the Jews. They rejected him and they crucified him. As in those days, there are people who would not come to him. Why would they not come to him? They will not come to him because they are unwilling to accept the gospel of grace. They say that there is something good in us, something good in me. Surely I can depend on this something good in me to earn my way into heaven. That's what they think. Now, if you think about it, there's a lot of self-centeredness in that. It is me. Yes, I can do it. I don't have to depend on the Savior to bring me to heaven. But God says it very, very clearly. It is by grace through faith that a person is saved. Yes? Not of yourselves. Not of works. Lest any man should boast. Then there are those who sit on the fence today. They think that their lifestyle is decent enough. They say they are law-abiding, and then morally they say they cannot be faulted, they have a good conscience, and therefore they are quite all right. So they think. They respect Christ as a good teacher. They respect him as a great moral leader, a teacher of morality. And they say that he is just like any other religious leaders. That's all. But friends, that's not good enough. You must come to the Lord Jesus Christ. You must come to this living stone and realize that you are nothing but a wretched sinner but lost. Yes, and lost. You must come to him. The Lord Jesus Christ says, The word of God says, come now and let us reason together. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. We must come to him. You must come to him for salvation. Then there are others who will not come. Why will they not come? They will not come because they are afraid to come. They will not come because they do not want their evil to be exposed. So there was a day in the life of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ when he said these words. He says this in John chapter 3, verse 19 and verse 20. And he says, this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world and men loved darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. They do not want their deeds to be reproved. They do not want their evil deeds to be exposed. That's what it means. So they are afraid to come to the Lord Jesus Christ. Friends, but they must come. Yes, we must come to him. Yes, the living rock for security of life after life on this earth. Now then, what happens to those who come to him? What happens? Now those who come to him will become living stones. That's what will happen to them. They become living stones. Yes. They become living stones that form this superstructure called the spiritual house. You look at verses 4 and 5 again. All right? Look at verses 4 and 5 again. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verses 4 and 5. You see, to whom? To whom? To Jesus. Coming as unto a living stone. Jesus is that living stone. Disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious. You also as what? Lively stones, as living stones, are built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. You also, as lively stones, are built up a spiritual house. When we come to him, we become living stones that form this superstructure referred to as the spiritual house. Now, you know, a building has a foundation and it also has a superstructure. Yes, the superstructure is of course made out of the walls and the roof. Yes, we believers in the Lord Jesus Christ are living stones forming the superstructure. And the Lord Jesus Christ is the foundation. Now from age to age, from time past to time present to time future, more and more believers or more and more living stones are added to this superstructure. One day this whole building will be completed. It will be completed when the Lord Jesus Christ returns. Yes. Now what is this spiritual house that is being spoken of here? This spiritual house here is none other than the church of Jesus Christ, or the church universal. And who will dwell in this house? Who? And who will cement all the living stones together? Now I'd like us to look at a few verses to see who will be dwelling in this house and then who cements the living stones together. Please turn with me to Ephesians chapter 2 verses 19 to 22. Alright? Okay, let's see who dwells in this house and who cements the lively stones together to form the superstructure. Ephesians 2 verse 19. Ephesians 2 19. Now, therefore, ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God. Paul was writing to the Christians in Ephesus, many of whom were Gentiles. Paul says, now you are no longer strangers, you are no longer foreigners, but you are fellow citizens with the saints, with the believers, and you are members of the household of God. And you are built upon the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, Jesus himself being the chief cornerstone. You see, Jesus is the foundation stone, in whom, in Jesus, all the building fitly framed together groweth unto an holy temple in the Lord, in whom ye also are builded together for an habitation of God through the Spirit. And as we said, Paul was writing to the Christians, whether they were Jews or whether they were Gentiles, it didn't matter. They were framed together, fitly framed together. By whom? You look at verse 22. In whom ye also are builded together for an habitation of God through the Spirit. So you are held together, cemented together by God's mighty Holy Spirit. Yes. And who is the one who dwells in this spiritual house? in whom ye also are builded together for an habitation of God. So who dwells in this spiritual house? God. Yes, you are an habitation of God. Now, you think of the Jewish Christians in those days. They were scattered and they were scattered all over Asia Minor. And they were living away from the city of Jerusalem, so they could have missed the splendor of the temple in the city of Jerusalem. So they could be asking for themselves, where are the priests? Where are the sacrifices of the temple? We don't have them, we don't have the priests, we don't have the sacrifices. Ah, but Peter wrote them to comfort and said to them, you have something better than what the Old Testament saints had. Yes, in the Old Testament, people had a physical temple, a physical building. But what you have today is a spiritual house. Not a physical temple, but a spiritual house. The foundation stone is not the piece of dead stone, but the foundation stone is the living stone, Jesus Christ, the Son of God. And the bricks, the stones, are not lifeless bricks. Yes, they are living stones. You are the living stones. So Peter was telling them, you have something far, far better than the saints in the Old Testament. Yes, and then you have something better than the Levitical priesthood. You see, the Christians, the Jewish Christians no longer require the priest to represent them. Yes, why? Because they themselves were priests, that's the reason. Yes, they had become members of the royal priesthood themselves. Look at verse 5, alright? Look at verse 5, alright? We must read this carefully. Verse 5. And you also, as lively stones, living stones, right, believers, are built up on a spiritual house and holy priesthood. Did you see those words? And holy priesthood. In other words, you Christians, you now belong to and holy priesthood. You are priests yourselves to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. They themselves now do not need, they have become priests, and they do not need priests to represent them to come before the one true living God. And they could do it anytime because they were priests. They could do it anytime. In the Old Testament time, the people could not get into the Holy of Holies. They could not come into the presence of God anytime they wanted. They could only do it once per year, and through whom? To the high priest. Only once per year. But Peter said, now you have something better. You are priests yourselves. You can come before the one true living God by yourselves as priests. Because why? Now you have this high priest, the perfect high priest, the Lord Jesus Christ. Through him you can come boldly unto God's throne of grace to obtain mercy and find grace to help. Anytime, anytime. And so Peter said, you see how privileged you are compared to the Old Testament saints. And friends, believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, we are exactly in the same position as those believers. We have been chosen to be lively stones, living stones. Did you realize that? Each one of us is a lively stone, a living stone. We came to him. There was a day in our life when we came to him. We were dead stones, but after we came to him, we became lively stones and we formed part of this spiritual house. And then, we receive life from this living stone. We have become living stones. Thank God. Thank God. Now, we do not have to offer those Old Testament sacrifices. We don't have to bring lambs and sheep and goats into the temple. No, we don't have to offer those sacrifices anymore. Those sacrifices were offered once and for all in the Lord Jesus Christ, once and for all. But friends, in the place of those sacrifices that were offered in the Old Testament, what kind of sacrifices do we offer? The Word of God here says what? Spiritual sacrifices. That's what we should be offering unto the Lord. And what make up these spiritual sacrifices? Of course, my dear friends, is prayers of praises unto the Lord, prayers of thanksgiving unto the Lord, the prayers of praises unto the Lord. These are spiritual sacrifices. And the best spiritual sacrifice that we can offer the Lord is to offer ourselves unto him. Paul says this, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your body a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. my dear friends, that is the sacrifice, that spiritual sacrifice, that is most acceptable unto the one true living God, provided it is a holy sacrifice. Now, what kind of temple is fit for God to dwell in? It has to be a holy temple, of course. Remember, Ephesians 2:21 says what? It is a holy temple. We must be holy. As living stones, we must be holy, holy to be stones fit for use in this holy temple. Why? Because God is holy. And we can be holy if daily we come before the Lord to have our sins cleansed by His precious blood. Every day we need to do that. Some people say that you don't have to repent from your sins. Once you have repented once, that's good enough. That's not true. That's a fallacious teaching. Every day we must repent from our sins. Every day we must have the Lord to cleanse us of our sins by His precious blood. And we show our holiness. How? How do we show our holiness? My dear friends, we show our holiness by obeying His laws. Are you part of this spiritual house, my dear friends? I ask you. Yes, as we come to the conclusion of this message, I need to ask you. Are you part of this spiritual house? Are you a living stone of this house? You are, my dear friends, if you have come to trust the Lord Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. But you must come, my dear friends. If you haven't come, you are not part of this living house. You must come to Him. And if you have come to Him, then you have become a living stone. There's a living stone of this building, the foundation of which is none other than our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And if you have Him as the foundation stone, and if you are a living stone, and if you have Him as your foundation stone, then you have perfect security in Him, because He's all-powerful. He's our security in that He provides for all our needs. Whatever our needs may be, physical, emotional, psychological, spiritual, He provides for all our needs, and He's able to meet our needs well. Why? Because He is our perfect high priest, who was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. And for our salvation, friends, He is the perfectly strong rock who never fails. He will carry us through until the end, until the day we come into His arms. So, my dear friends, the question is, have you come to Him yet, or have you not? If you have not come to Him yet to believe in Him, you are not a living stone. You are not part of this spiritual house. Here in Australia, if I understand it correctly, we see flags flown at half-mast over RSL buildings whenever some former servicemen pass away who were also members of the club. One day, a boy saw something unusual. A flag was flown half-mast over his church, and the boy asked the mother, "Mom, what is the flag for? It's flown at half-mast." And mother said, "Oh, it's for those who died in the service." Now, of course, the mom was talking about the military service and the naval service, but the boy thought otherwise. He didn't quite understand. He said, "Which service? The 10 o'clock service or the 8 o'clock service?" Now, it might sound funny, but friends, isn't the boy right? If a half-mast flag is flown on the top of churches in Australia today, I dare say that most churches will have this flag flying at half-mast over the church. Now, today, I ask you, if a half-mast flag is flown over our church, will that half-mast flag be flown for you, my dear friends? Now, we profess to be a lively stone. Well, we profess to be living stones. Now let us see whether we are really living or dead stones. A lot of professed Christians, let me read for you, a lot of professed Christians are like lukewarm, are like wheelbarrows, not good unless pushed. Some are like kites. If you don't keep a string on them, they fly away. Some are like kittens. They are more contented when petted. Some are like a rugby ball. You can't tell what way they will bounce next. Some are like balloons, full of wind and ready to blow up. Some are like problematic lights. They keep going on and off. But there are those who are alive, living stones, who let the Holy Spirit guide them by His word, who care for the growth of the church, the growth of others and themselves. My dear friends, are you a living stone? Are you a living stone, my dear friends? One who cares for the growth of the church, the growth of others, and the growth of yourself. And as I said, my dear friends, have you come to the Lord Jesus Christ? If you have not come to him yet, my dear friends, I'm afraid to say that if the half-mast flag is flown today, it's being flown for you. Amen. Let us pray. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you that you have chosen us to be lively stones, living stones, built on this sure foundation, the living stone, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Father, we thank you for this wonderful privilege that you have given to us to be regarded as part of your spiritual house. And this morning, O Lord God, we thank you that we have security in him who died for us. We thank you that our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, our living stone, is the perfect security for all our needs. Father, we thank you that we can stand on him, and we thank you that he meets all our needs because he's not only our solid rock on whom we rest, but he's also our high priest who knows our every need. And our gracious Heavenly Father, we pray for those who have not come to you as Lord and Savior yet, but we pray that they may come and receive you as Lord and Savior, and be the lively stones that you want them to be. Father, we pray that all of us here this morning may be willing to come to you if we have not already done so. And if indeed we profess ourselves to be the living stones, we pray that we may be the living stones that you want us to be, to care for others, to care for the growth of the church, and to care for our own growth also. Lord, we pray that you will continue to be with us in a very special day, a special way throughout the day. In Jesus' blessed name we pray and give thanks. Amen.